All right, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Buffalo Beat. My name is Joe Biscaglia. Thank you all for joining me on this episode, which is probably going to be a bit different than our usual episodes. And, you know, for obvious reasons, we did not do a post-game episode, also for obvious reasons. So thank you for, you know, understanding the moment and not wondering where the pod was or anything like that. It was a Monday night was an evening that, you know, I will never forget. I don't think anyone will ever forget. It's one of those games where, or moments, I should say, not game. It's one of those moments where you stop right where you are, you know where you are, you know who you're with, that sort of thing, because of what potentially could have happened right then and there. So I'm not sure how, where this whole podcast is going to go on this episode. So bear with me from that respect. But, you know, I think this is just going to kind of be a stream of consciousness for me, because this is, above all else, like one of the most memorable moments in Buffalo Bills history, and because of the sheer terror that that was brought up from that moment. And I'm, of course, talking about DeMar Hamlin, and, you know, when he collapsed on the field and then the subsequent events that happened over the course of that hour were just shattering, I think is a word, especially to the guys that were on the field and the coaches and the staff that was on the field. Traumatic. It was unforgettable. And one that really has put a special highlight on how important the mental health component is to the entirety of the operation in general, but definitely even more so once, you know, a shared experience happens right in front of a bunch of players' eyes. So when everyone was watching that, I'm sure the scenes of the players' reaction were there. You know, everyone, you know, I haven't gone back and watched the actual collapse since the night of. And I don't think I want to see that again. So it was, my experience was probably a bit different than most of your experiences, unless you were at the game in Cincinnati, which I'm sure, you know, there are a lot of people that traveled, so I'm sure a lot of people had that type of experience. But on the broadcast, seeing the sheer terror from the players and, you know, watching as first responders had to come in and try and successfully, might I add, save DeMar Hamlin's life. And I don't want to go too much farther without highlighting the fact that I'm recording this on Friday, January 6th at 4:30 p.m. And at the time of this recording, DeMar Hamlin is awake. He is no longer intubated from the last we've heard. He is breathing on his own. He is talking with his family, his loved ones. He FaceTimed with the Bills. He flexed in front of the camera to open things up with the meeting with the Bills players. So those, it had a promising ending, and to the point where Deion Dawkins, you know, today on a Zoom call with reporters said, "We got our boy back." And so it resulting in this way, and hopefully for everyone involved, it continues along the same lines where he eventually gets discharged from the hospital and then he begins to try and resume normal life. That's the goal here for everyone involved. And no matter if you're a reporter that covers it or a fan that watches, it's less about football. It's less about covering the game. It's less about, you know, analyzing things. It's just more about being a human than anything. And I think that's why, you know, it's such a shared experience, because everyone is along the same lines. Like, yeah, I hope that kid is okay. 24 years old, everything along those lines. So all of these things have been promising. So like I said, I didn't want to go too much farther without like mentioning that things look promising as of where it stands at the time of this recording. But it doesn't take away from the moment and how it felt, how it looked for a lot of people. And it's just so multifaceted, because everyone watching at home has this shared experience about seeing guys like Josh Allen and Saran Neal and... Shoot, I didn't really go back and watch the broadcast too many times, as you might imagine, because, you know, I had a bit of a different experience in watching it from the press box. But having that shared experience with so many people, everyone was just horrified, and it's just a big time freak accident that, you know, I think a lot of the players have, or at least one prominent player, Josh Allen, has said he was assured that it was the freakiest of freak accidents. It was exactly the way that he put it, and it had to happen at the right time for it to happen. But it doesn't make it any less frightening for a lot of these guys, and any less traumatic for a lot of these guys, and traumatic for people who are watching, honestly. Because you go into a football game, you're thinking, oh, final game of, and this is trivial, final game, playoff seedings on the line, final game of a lot of fantasy football leagues out there, just like dumb stuff, all things considered. And for it to just unravel the way that it did in a horrifying manner was a lot to take in, I think, for a lot of people. And so the way that the Bills have handled themselves throughout that situation and getting the league to call off the game, at least suspend it at the time, and then eventually cancel it, because, you know, there's no way anyone could have expected the Bills to go back to Cincinnati within a week and a half and try and go play a game or relive that experience or whatever. Just didn't make sense from a human perspective. So eventually the NFL did the right thing, but I do want to just highlight some of the overwhelming responses of what happened. Like, this was something that no one possibly could prepare for. The way that the first responders got there and were able to resuscitate Hamlin. Denny Kellington is someone who has gotten a lot of credit this week, and rightfully so. Their assistant athletic trainer, Denny Kellington, for how he successfully administered CPR on him. And another one was one of the members of the equipment staff, equipment manager Corey Reblin, who got in there and was able to unscrew the face mask off of DeMar Hamlin's helmet so that way they could treat him properly throughout the entire thing. It's just that whole 15-minute area where there was just so many things that needed to go right that did just is quite honestly remarkable. So for how it all unfolded with, I guess, how those 15 minutes that, you know, you just go back and you replay it, right? It's just sticks in your mind. It certainly, it's one of those things that you have to talk about with people because it's a shared experience. And I think for the most part, the way that the Bills responded to that, outside of the obvious trauma, was pretty remarkable, if I'm honest. It starts with Sean McDermott. It starts with Brandon Bean. And starts with a lot of the staff members that were able to work on Hamlin, first and foremost. That's the most important part. And getting him to a spot where they can get him to the hospital and continue to try and save his life. Like, that's just incredible stuff by all of them. So that deserves the most credit of all credit possible. And it's the reason why a lot of the other people that I'm going to talk about are quick to push the praise elsewhere. But I, you know, when you go through and you analyze a team and you analyze a season the way that I do, you know, I think most of you know that I'm very analytically driven and I focus on what I can see on film and certainly what I listen to from others inside the building and everything along those lines. Like it all kind of plays a role. What I see in practice, it all plays a role into the analytical, but I think the humanistic perspective is a lot of times what is lost in football, really. And I'm guilty of it. I think a lot of us are guilty of it. But the way that Sean McDermott, the human, responded to that moment was well deserving of a lot of praise out there. You know, I have a very big respect for how McDermott conducted himself and how he led the team. And you know, I say it to you know, most that ask, and you know, some people are surprised to hear, like, when I say that I'm not a fan of the team. And I'm not. It's part of the way that I want to do the job best is to stay neutral, stay unbiased. I think it helps my coverage in that way, and certainly it helps me see things in a different light that maybe, you know, isn't seen if there were to be any sort of like bias involved. But this isn't like praising Sean McDermott here is not, these two things are not one and the same. I'm praising McDermott the human for how he handled that entire event. And he's not the only one. Like, he had to draw strength from defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, who I'm sure was just an absolute rock throughout that whole thing, because he's been a rock for everybody for in that building for going on six seasons now. But how McDermott was able to just shoulder all of the hurt, all of the trauma, all of the pain that was permeating around him in those 15 minutes. And to be with Hamlin, to be right there, close to the middle of it, as it's happening, as he himself is going through that same trauma, because he, you know, he's not Hamlin's teammate, but he's also his coach, who has grown to care for him and all of these other things. For McDermott to be able to compartmentalize trauma real time and to still show some leadership and to have the presence of mind to keep those steps in place, that to do right by his team, was mightily impressive, in my opinion. And I'm sure it hit him well after the fact what he had seen, because, you know, at that point you're acting out of adrenaline. Like, my experience was totally different from, obviously, Sean McDermott's, because he's down on the field. But, like, you know, when just from a media perspective, just to give you all just a little snippet of what that event was like for me, and I won't go too far in this because it's not about me, but I'm watching that from binoculars from a press conference. I know this is from the press box, I know this is going to be just an absolutely massive story that we need to cover and in a large way, because it's bigger than football. And so you're looking at details, you're remembering things, you're jotting things down and looking at it from a different perspective, because what you're seeing on the broadcast is different from what you see when the whole field is right in front of you. And when you have kind of a zoomed in view on it, then it's a lot. It's a lot to take in with that moment, seeing the looks on guys' faces, seeing, you know, certain things that they were doing to help Damar Hamlin at that point in time. But at that point, it's adrenaline, 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 adrenaline. And to the point where you get done writing the whole thing, which is where you start to let yourself process and think about what happened. And I won't lie, like, I'm very comfortable in saying that, you know, I in my hotel room, when I got back to it, I had an early flight, so there was no point in sleeping at that point. But I definitely just, like, stared at a wall for a little bit and just tried to process everything that I had seen in front of me. You know, since point, I know you're probably like, Joe, are you good? Yeah, I'm good. I came home and talked a lot with friends, talked a lot with my wife, everything like that, and you know, in a good place. And certainly it helps that it's very helpful to see that Damar Hamlin is making a recovery the way that he is. But that pales in comparison. And so that's just like an aside to show how maybe adrenaline can help get you through a traumatic event. But it pales in comparison to everything that Sean McDermott had to do. So when you have him seeing what is happening with his team around him and knowing that he needs to be that source of strength, and even after they put Hamlin into the ambulance and, you know, they drove it off the field, getting everyone around him just to kind of take a moment to think of Damar and everything along those lines. That was one thing. But then when Zach Taylor walked across the field, because seemingly it didn't feel right for anyone to continue to play football, and yeah, I know everyone in the press box, everyone on Twitter for that matter, was like, stop the game. What are you doing? Stop the game. And even just like seeing, I think one of the things I remember was, you know, some of the defensive guys put their helmet back on, and a few of them even walked out on the field for their side, thinking that the game was about to continue. And that's immediately when I saw Zach Taylor walk across the field. And for Sean McDermott to, in that moment, go, I shouldn't be coaching. And McDermott is so hardwired with football, right? it's everything that we know about him. But just to be able to push that aside was really impressive, and to lead those guys into the locker room and to lead them through the decisions that needed to be made once they were in the locker room. All of that was extremely evident. And it's not even just the night of, like the subsequent days, listening to people both in the building and out talk about how McDermott handled that situation. Like Josh Allen couldn't be more effusive in his praise for what McDermott did for them, not only that night, but in the subsequent days. You know, just being that rock for a lot of guys that that quite frankly needed it. Outside the building, you know, I spoke with a lot of people that know McDermott and Brandon Bean both for a story that I did that's going to be posting on Saturday morning at The Athletic. One of them was Ron Rivera, who is the current Commanders coach, who was the Panthers coach when McDermott was the defensive coordinator there. And Rivera was just saying how proud he was of McDermott in that moment to be able to lead and to have the emotional awareness and the empathy to read everything that his players were putting out for him. I mean, Rivera wasn't alone. Other guys like Dave Gettleman, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, all these guys that I talked to, just they could not have said better things about McDermott and Bean, but McDermott was the guy that was the focal point because he was out there, and he was out there for the world to see. It was a nationally televised game, and it was one of the most traumatic events in NFL history. That's not an over-exaggeration. I think we all know that by now. And the way that people have responded have to the entire thing, and just the outpouring of support, and even just for the most part, outside of some crazy stuff that was put out there, for the most part, people coming together, you know, regardless of team affiliation, media, team, everyone is just of the same belief. Like, hey, I hope that guy's okay. I hope he pulls through, because it would be devastating to so many different people inside that building and inside the league and just people in general. To like, the football is a source of enjoyment for so many people, and to have it hit like that, and for people who maybe were watching with their kids having to explain that, like, that had to be frightening for a lot of people out there watching. So, like I said, very, very glad that things have turned the way that they have into the positive realm for, you know, just humanistic reasons. So the Bills, you know, kind of spinning this forward. Maybe I want to talk about Brandon Bean a little bit too, because I think the role that he and Ron Rakuya of you know, the EVP of the Bills. I think the role that those two guys played behind the scenes, in the tunnel, in the locker room area, was vitally important to get in the midst of chaos and in a situation that has not been seen in the NFL in a long, long time. Definitely not in today's NFL with all of the advancements that there are. For them to go into logistics and helping to ease the situation in any way possible, or just figuring things out that needed to be figured out right then and there. I think both of those guys did a tremendous job with that, and getting Damar Hamlin's loved ones on the ambulance with him, and then turning their attention over to speaking with officials. You know, I'm sure there were a lot more steps than that. But consoling players, being in the locker room with them, you know, just being that the person that people in the organization can feel like that they can go to and that they can trust. And I think Bean does a really nice job with that in general. And a lot of the ways that people that have worked or have played for him or still do speak about him kind of speaks to that fact. And I think one of my biggest takeaways was that, you know, the overall duo that they have in McDermott and Bean, like, they were so well equipped for the moment. And how could you be equipped for the moment? But just their overall, the way that they react to situations gave them such a fighting chance in that moment. And, you know, I think beyond football, beyond the wins and losses, beyond everything, I feel like Bills fans have to be feeling pretty lucky right now to have those two guys in those spots in that specific situation. Is it always going to be perfect from an on-field perspective? No, it's not. And, you know, eventually the show is going to go on. And Sunday, the Bills are going to take on the Patriots and I'll touch on that in a little bit. But an event, like I said, eventually the show is going to go on to where, you know, everyone still has their mind on Damar Hamlin, but maybe if he's progressing and he's getting back to normal life, then, you know, it becomes more about the playoffs and performance and everything like that. That's stuff that is another time and day. But just in terms of a raw human reaction and the ability to help others process while you're still processing yourself is really commendable. So kudos to everyone involved, from the staff members to everything. You know, everything, it seemed like, had to be perfect for it to result in the way that it's trending right now, and it was. So it was a well done job by that organization, and they deserve credit. They deserve a lot of credit for how it happened, for how they handled it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's spin it forward a little bit because, you know, I think a lot of people have done a lot of reflecting about the situation, and I certainly have myself. There's no doubt. You have to. I mean, you have to. I think Mitch Morse put it best. You have to, you know, have that internal dialogue. You have to, and everyone processes it differently, whether it be, you know, talking with others or, you know, just talking with yourself about it and, you know, trying to find a good place for you while you're processing it. And while it affected those people on the field the most, I'm sure there's a lot of people that were out there watching it on television that were impacted by it. So getting to a spot where you're, you know, processing it yourself is good. And that allows you to kind of spin it forward to kind of think about what the moment might be like on Sunday. And I've tweeted it out a couple of times that as soon as, I think the first time I did was after the Bills had announced that Damar Hamlin was awake and doctors revealed that he was moving his hands and feet. And that he even wrote, "Did we win?" Which is, you know, just unbelievable stuff. Once that came down, it was immediately in my brain like, this is exactly what those players were waiting for. And like, this is gonna amp them up in a way that, you know, they might not have thought that they could get to based on earlier in the week. And as soon as I thought about that, I'm like, well, they're definitely gonna play on Sunday. And I just thought about what that environment is gonna be like at Highmark Stadium. And I'm not like trying to play up to you all because you're fans of the team, obviously. That's I assume most of you that are listening are Bills fans, but I'm not trying to play up to it. I genuinely think that atmosphere on Sunday against the Patriots is going to be one of the most electric, emotionally charged, memorable days in that stadium's history. I truly believe that. Because throughout the last couple of days, there has just been this collective breath from the entire world, honestly, because of the outpouring of support for Damar Hamlin. You know, people donating as much money as they did to his foundation. People are invested in this situation. And it was almost universally this shared thing. Like, as soon as the good news started coming in, like, I kind of joked with some friends. Twitter, because it's become into an overwhelmingly negative space, I should say. Like, this week, it's been kind of throwback Twitter because it's been mostly positive, to where people are just all thinking the same thing. Like, you know, just wanting that guy to be able to live a normal life and live for that matter. So it seems like everything is trending in that way. But that leads us to Sunday, where the Bills are obviously amped up now. They saw him on a Zoom call or FaceTime or whatever it was, a video chat, we'll call it. He flexes, says love you boys, gives like the heart symbol with his hands a few times because didn't want to talk too much considering everything he had just gone through, but that just put a whole different motivation and spin on things, and you could tell just this collective breath, like I said before, of everyone involved over there, to where that trickles down to the fan base, because a lot of you all are feeling a lot of the things that those players are, albeit in a different experience. But to be able to go to that stadium and against the Patriots, mind you, which seems like, I don't know, one of the more memorable games I can remember in my time covering the Bills was the Bills-Patriots game back in 2011. And when the Bills snapped the streak, it was the Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fred Jackson game, where Fred Jackson was stopped just short of the goal line and wound up being the best thing for him. And Bill Belichick was trying to take a penalty to stop the clock because the Bills were just gonna run it out. that was one of the more memorable games in that stadium, at least from the time that I had been covering them. But for them to play the Patriots in a team that has given them so many problems over the years, and a team that in the regular season last year beat them in Buffalo, the win game. And I think it's the Patriots have replaced the Dolphins and Jets uniformly throughout the fan base as the one that they have the strongest distaste for, based on the way that they won and the way that they dominated for so long. So for this game to have that sort of positive news, to have that bump forward for the players to be able to, you know, not push it aside, but just to be able to relax a little bit and to have that motivation to play for DeMar Hamlin, which will therein, translate to fans wanting to be louder and everything like that. So I think that stadium is going to be absolutely electric. And I'm not going to, you know, I talked with that story I was telling you about earlier that will be posting Saturday morning. I'm not going to tell you the exact quote from Brian Daboll about what it's going to be like in that stadium. I'm going to tweet it because I don't want to do it a disservice, because it's just funny. Because it's Daboll has an innate sense of what this area is like growing up here, and yeah, so he gets it. But people, I think the Bills are very aware that Sunday is going to be a pretty memorable experience. And I think a lot of them are looking forward to it. Coupled with the fact that now with the new NFL announcement, and this is so cursory to what we talked about for the first half an hour of the pod, but coupled with the fact that if the Bills win, they guarantee that they will not have to go to Kansas City if they have to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, which is pretty remarkable. The way that the NFL is playing it is There are a few different scenarios, but basically what you need to know is if both the Bills and the Chiefs win, the Chiefs would be the one seed. They get the bye. The Bills would have their first two playoff games at home. And let's say the Chiefs make it to the championship game. Let's say the Bills make it to the championship game. That game gets played at a neutral site. We don't know where yet. What we do know is that Detroit is unavailable because they're redoing their playing surface. And Sam Farmer of the LA Times reported that Indianapolis has a national volleyball tournament in that facility on that weekend. So that probably rules that out. So speculate, but that would be the way that plays out. Or if the Bills win and the Chiefs lose to the Raiders, seems unlikely, but, you know, weirder things have happened. The Bills would get the first round bye, and they would host the playoffs all the way through. There would be no neutral site. So I'm sure a lot of you out there are going to be rooting against the Raiders, but, you know, either way, a Bills win means their season is not going to come down to being in Kansas City for a third straight year. And if it's not Kansas City, as long as the Bills win, then it's going to be in Buffalo. So those are pretty high stakes for the Bills, and just adds to the overall atmosphere of what it's going to be like. And not to mention, the Patriots are currently in the 7 seed. They're playing for their playoff lives. It's going to be a really memorable day, I think. So I think it's going to be one of those that you remember. And, you know, if you're there, I think a lot of people are going to always talk about that day and what it kind of felt like, what it kind of sounded like, what it kind of looked like. So yeah, it's all trending that way. So it went from a potential week of tragedy and what felt like a tragedy for a few days there to what is suddenly looking to be like an inspiring story that featured a lot of pivotal people along the way. Can tell you it's been a whirlwind to cover from a media perspective, you know, wearing a lot of different hats throughout the week, but it's been you know, seeing the way that people responded and supported and certainly, you know, once Hamlin woke up and was no longer on a breathing tube. Yeah, it's one of those stories you never quite forget. So yeah, we'll see what happens on Sunday. You know, I think we're going to have a bit of a more standardized podcast. I think we'll still be talking about the atmosphere and the environment all the same. But I think it would be a good point to start to shift back into football things as long as things keep going the way that they are with Hamlin. So yeah, it's gonna be a real humdinger on Sunday at Highmark Stadium, and yeah, we'll see how this Bills team looks, and with, you know, not as much preparation as they usually have for a Patriots game, but yeah, I'm sure their overall adrenaline and I guess motivation to win for DeMar Hamlin is going to take over in that point. So I think that's kind of a good place to put a bow on this one. So I appreciate you all for letting me just do the stream of consciousness. You know, before I hit record, I told my wife, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. Like, you have thoughts throughout the week, but you know, when you're recording a podcast, you're like, okay, where's this one going to take me? Because it's just a multifaceted subject that just takes you in so many different directions. But I appreciate you all for listening to the show. I appreciate you all for listening to the episode, which was a bit different than all the rest. But, you know, I think a part of covering this team is being able to speak about the challenging things. And they've gone through a lot of them this year. So I appreciate you all for being able to, or not being able to, but listening and being open to what I have to say. So always appreciated. But I guess that means the next time I will talk to you will be after the Patriots game. And like I said, should be a real, real doozy. Bills versus Patriots. I guess I do owe you a prediction. A brief Shaq Lawson meditation prediction hour. God, what is the line even? See, that's the week. Like I'm normally like watching film all week. I haven't watched a lick of film one bit. Let's see. Line for the game. Bills favored by 7.5. Total 43.5. I'm going to take the Bills to win. I'm going to take the Bills to cover. And I'm going to take the over. Because I think the Bills are going to... I would be somewhat surprised if the Bills lose this game after everything that they've been through. So yeah. We'll see what happens. All right. So thank you all for listening again. Next time I'll talk to you will be after the Patriots game, and we will go over what the stadium was like and what the game was like and where it goes from here once they get into the postseason. And by then, we'll know if the Bills are the 1, the 2, or the 3 seed. So thank you all for listening. My name is Joe Biscaglia, and we will talk to you next episode. See you then.